The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Well, thank you for being here. It's a passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become what? Yes, the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. We're glad you're here. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, it's 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. A lot of folks like the email, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. If you miss an interview, you miss a segment, you miss something Dr. Mike talks about, radiomd.com. And thanks for being here, too. The agenda for the hour. At 20 after the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist. Can we trust Green Seal to certify safer products? Green Seal. What state leads the way on new restrictions on groundwater? In groundwater, there's a state leading the way. Dr. G with the answer. And how about pollution control devices in ambulances, preventing emergency response? Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. At 35 after the hour, we call it Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry. What's on the talk topic list today?
Well, there are two really good topics. One is, should you really wear sunblock? That is, should you get some sun every day, and what benefit does it have? Well, there's a new benefit out this week. I'm not going to tell you, other than it lowers your blood pressure. The other one is, should Medicare pay for surgery around your eyes, that is plastic surgery on your eyelids? And Medicare is now paying a tremendous amount of money for this. Is this justified? Should you have it? Is it a medical need? And Arthur's going to tell us all about it.
All right. State Talk from the Docs. Dr. Perry at 35 after the hour. We'll run now through some of the other top medical stories of the week, as we do every week. And Dr. Mike, you want to talk about the possible connection between pesticides and disease.
Right. This is with pesticides, and it's three specific pesticides, or one pesticide and two, if you will, fungicides that are highly linked to Parkinson's disease. So what we've learned now is Parkinson's disease has some prevalences when you use things that affect nerves. So it first came up when, obviously, they were trying to make some, if you will, methamphetamines way back in the 70s. They mismixed it, and a whole bunch of people got Parkinson's disease relatively rapidly. So we knew something caused the death of those dopaminergic neurons that also are associated with Parkinson's death. Well, now it turns out farmers with paraquat and fungus killers Meneb and Mucozeb have more than a 70% increased risk of Parkinson's compared to farmers who don't use those pesticides, or compared to the average Joe in the street. So this is a big deal, because you don't have to use those pesticides, and you as a consumer don't have to have them in your garage, don't have to use those fungicides. So what you want to do is make sure that you don't have paraquat or Meneb or Mucozeb near you at any time. Don't use them in your home gardening. And if you're going to use them, or if someone's going to use them around you, even if you're a farmer, make sure you wear double gloves before you touch them.
Like weed killers, those kind of things we use to...
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Clean up lawns from clover and weeds and those kind of things. In some areas of the world, for example, I think in Europe, weeds, clover is something they like. They like clover in their lawns and things. And some people get so obsessed with taking that kind of stuff out of their lawn that they get treated. They treat their own lawns. They have some commercial place come in to treat them. So... And they put the stick in the ground, right? Don't walk on the lawn for 24 hours. But I'm kind of suspicious about that time frame, too.
I am, too, especially because when it rains, you or with anything else, you think you're getting more stuff. So
right.
I am very suspicious of it, too, Joe. So your cynicism has spilled over.
What's a probiotic do, and what's the link to some antibiotics?
Well, probiotic is a healthy bacteria. That is a bacteria that replaces some of your own bacteria in your gut. You need about 3 billion of them, which is what you get in the average pill like Digestive Advantage or Sustenix, which are my favorite brands, or Culturelle. And they get through the stomach acid, and then they populate your gut, that is your abdomen, with healthy fat. And that healthy fat, I'm sorry, healthy bacteria, and that healthy bacteria ward off some of the bad bacteria. And in this case, with when you're being treated for an antibiotic, the risk of antibiotic treatment, let's say you're getting your sinuses and you get a broad spectrum antibiotic, is that you get something called Clostridium difficile, or a bacteria that is a superinfection. Well, it's been found that when you take your antibiotic, if you take a probiotic with it at the same time, you still get the antibiotic to treat the, for example, the sinus infection, but the probiotic helps decrease the symptoms and maybe the rate of infection. It does it by 67%. So if there's a chance of 6 in 100 of people with an antibiotic getting this serious diarrhea and bacterial infection after a broad-spectrum antibiotic, that goes way down to 2 per 100, or 67% reduction if you take one of the probiotics with it, like Culturelle or Digestive Advantage or Sustenix.
Would a probiotic prevent an allergic reaction to an antibiotic?
No, it won't prevent an allergic reaction as far as we know. Many people think the severe diarrhea after an antibiotic is an allergic reaction. It isn't. That's just an effect of your wiping out your normal bacteria inside your gut, and a bad bacteria like Clostridium difficile, and it's probably called that because it grows so, it's so difficult to treat, but Clostridium difficile growing and causing the side effect. But an allergic reaction, something like a rash or swelling up or serious problem with breathing, that's not prevented by a probiotic as far as we know.
Yeah, as you mentioned, as I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, I took amoxicillin this past winter and developed a severe skin reaction, so a probiotic wouldn't help, but just avoid that form of antibiotic the next time
you have to avoid all penicillin drugs.
Yep. Oh, also all penicillin. Okay. All right. Better to walk or run, Dr. Mike, when we exercise. What's better?
Well, this is a great study that shows it's better to do anything, meaning walking and running both have benefits, substantial benefits. The running actually has an extra benefit that has just been found, and that is it decreases appetite. So people who did the same amount of exercise and then were put into a large buffet, the walkers actually ate about 50 calories more in the buffet than they had walked off, whereas the runners actually ate about 200 calories less. So running apparently has, and it did, they measured the chemical in their blood called YY, and this YY protein, or polypeptide YY, actually increased, which is a appetite suppressing hormone. So somehow running has that extra benefit. But both of them lower blood pressure, both of them increase your health. So start with walking, or start with doing something. Anything is better than nothing. 10 minutes is better than 0 minutes. 30 minutes is better than 10, but 10 gets you something.
Is it possible for a runner to avoid knee problems, knee pain, and later on in life?
I worry about the arthritis, so you want to have an anti-arthritic diet, that is keeping thin and making sure your legs are aligned, and then the diet is omega-3s. The nuts, like walnuts, have most omega-3s in them, salmon, olive oil. Omega-7s, you can get the purified form, you can get purified DHA, and olive oil to cook with. So use the healthy odd omegas as the mainstay of your diet.
Dr. G.
Yeah, supplements.
Okay. All right, thank you, Dr. Mike. Dr. G coming up, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic, what's not? You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Torticure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Torticure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they are often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Arthur Perry, straight talk from the docs at 35 after the hour. Time now for What's Toxic and What's Not. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, weekly with just some amazing informational, terrific stories in the world of toxicology. This week there are four. What do you like, Dr. Mike, among the four Dr. Gary Ginsberg has for us? What do you like the best?
Well, the one I like the best is the one I tweeted about most, which is the one on groundwater and what it means in Minnesota. What does it mean in Minnesota that they're changing their groundwater requirements. Is this relating to fracking?
No, actually, trichloroethylene, or TCE, is the focus of this story. And that's mostly, you know, I don't think it's a fracking fluid, but what they use in fracking is a complex mixture, and they may change the exact composition of what goes down in the hole from time to time based upon the kind of rock they're hitting. So I guess it's theoretically possible some TCE could be part of fracking. But this particular case, this is an industrial solvent that was used to clean metal parts or any large metalworking operation. Very common industrial solvent, could still be used today. And as a matter of fact, you could still go to your hardware store and buy TCE, which is basically 100% carcinogen in a can. And some hobbyists use it in art projects to clean nasty brushes or to clean up parts that got soiled.
Well, they become nasty after they use it.
Exactly. So never, you know, one of the things we write about in our book is never take some solvent like this, trichloroethylene, to chlorinated solvent. Never pour it on the ground because that'll end up contaminating the groundwater. It used to be used in spot remover, so it was much more commonly used for consumer items. No longer, but still, a lot of it got into the groundwater, and it's very, very long-lived and stable in groundwater. So it remains as a drinking water concern, even 20 or 30 years after somebody in an industry, a local industry, spilled it, and the water table moves. So if you're within a quarter or a half mile even of one of these landfills or old industries, it could be affecting your drinking, which is why we always tell people, test your drinking water. Anyway, so what happened in Minnesota, up until now, EPA has had a drinking water standard of 5 parts per billion for this chemical. And Minnesota had been going along their merry way, giving people replacement filters and making sure the water was clean, down to 5 parts per billion. In other words, how clean, 5 parts per billion is safe, is what they said. Well, now they're dropping the number by a factor of 10, down to 0.5 parts per billion because of new data on just how toxic trichloroethylene is to the immune system and is for reproduction as well as cancer. So that may make EPA sit up and take notice and say maybe nationally they should think about a lower standard now that Minnesota's leading the way. And we in Connecticut have actually lowered our number down to one part per billion, which, again, could affect people who thought they were in the clear at 5. So just another reason. How does this relate to the average person on the street? Just another reason to make sure you know where your drinking water comes from, and if it's from your own private well, make sure you test it for things like TCE.
All right. Does Green Seal make you safe?
Green Seal is a good certifier of some products. They have looked at cleaning products. If you want to do green cleaning, you can look on the label, and if there's a little logo on there that says Green Seal, that's like an eco logo of yes. They have thought about it. They've done some research and testing of the product you're buying, and it's not just the say-so of the manufacturer that this is a green product. Where some controversy now has come in is that on forestry products, there's a trade group, the Forestry Association, which claims that the paper products, the sticky notes, things that you might find at Staples, Office Depot, that they are certifying is with green practices, green forestry management practices. And really, when you look behind the scenes, some of the logging interests fund this organization, and it may be more greenwashing than green than really green in approach to the environment. So my approach to this story is that you do want to have a third party bless the product, whether it's a paint or a cleaning product or a paper product. It's really great if somebody's taken an extra pair of extra look at that and said, yep, these people are using healthier, best state-of-the-art chemicals and practices rather than just trusting the manufacturer. In the case of Green Seal, you could trust their label. In the case of these forestry products, and what you know, you might want to ask more questions about that. It affects the big purveyors, like state governments and big industries, who want to buy these products and say that they're doing the right thing by the environment, trusting these seals. It's not always the case that it's the best practice. So this is new information, but Green Seal in general is a good certifier.
Hey, in a general sense, are chemicals getting safer or finally going to get safer?
Well, this is related to that. Okay, so because we haven't been able to trust the federal government to make sure that, say, in a cleaning product, they weren't putting in methyl ethyl bad stuff, then you have these third-party certifiers that are looking what's on the market and saying whether it's something at the health food store or some mom and pop is selling something healthy. So anyway, finally, and this is after a decade of fighting over TSCA, something called TSCA reform, which is the federal legislation on controlling what chemicals can go into which products, including children's products, so that methyl ethyl bad stuff doesn't end up in your child's teething ring. Now, finally, EPA sounds like, because there's now a deal being struck between Senator Frank Lautenberg out of New Jersey and Senator David Vitner out of Louisiana, they've been the major sort of the people on the opposite sides of this issue. They've struck a compromise which has caught everybody off guard, and it actually looks like it may be doing something progressive towards giving EPA more power to stop bad chemicals from going into products that we depend upon as being safe. So in other words, if you buy a product, look to make sure it's got ingredients on it, number one. And number two, you can go to websites like the Green Guide or like my website, whatstoxic.com, and you can look up ingredients to just make sure that what you've got isn't unsafe. Because even if this compromise legislation goes through, it may take 5 or 10 years before we see any practical effect on the consumer marketplace.
Okay, if you can get through the next one in about a minute, we can get through them all today. Pollution control devices in ambulances, Gary.
Yeah, this was a real surprise to me. But here's a gunshot wound, ambulance, driving this gunshot victim in Washington, D.C., trying to get him to Howard University Hospital. And they had to pull over. The ambulance was getting shut down by the pollution control device. Because, the EPA has these requirements that diesel engines can have to be regenerating, that pollution control equipment has to regenerate, and something that just has urban miles on it, like a taxi cab or like an ambulance, which doesn't do highway driving, they have trouble regenerating their pollution control device, and this one was shutting down the ambulance, and the guy died.
Crazy.
So that was headline news, and hopefully that's not going to happen again.
He is Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic? What's not? Great website. Refer to his website, whatstoxic.com. Go to it and find out what is, and in some cases what isn't, which may surprise you. udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com is the email address. Coming up is Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. On Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And Dr. Perry is in beautiful New Jersey, in the middle of New Jersey, and you're looking out on a gorgeous sight. It was gorgeous today for at least an hour in Cleveland. Arthur, but there is a story about a huge amount of money that Medicare is now spending on eyelid plastic surgery. How can Medicare pay for plastic surgery?
You know, Mike, this is really something, isn't it? Here we are in the midst of healthcare reform, and everybody's complaining that we're about to be hit, and it's controversial, with denial of real services, of possibly chemotherapy and all sorts of new services. So you'd think that things like cosmetic surgery wouldn't have a chance of being covered under Medicare, but not true. Not true. You know, and I'm a plastic surgeon, and I love doing eyelid surgery, but this really kind of bothers me. Now, what we're talking about is not truly cosmetic eyelid surgery, but sort of cosmetic eyelid surgery. And when we get older, when we hit around 50 or 45, we start getting extra skin in the upper eyelids. And you know that, and I know that. When you start hitting around 60, 65, 70, sometimes that skin can actually interfere with vision. And so that when you're driving, for instance, and going up a hill, it's almost like having a baseball hat on, because that extra skin disrupts your upper visual fields. So that's what happens. And what do? Most of us just raise our eyebrows a little more. We get those chronic wrinkles of our forehead because of it, but it does the job in most cases. Well, Medicare will actually cover eyelid surgery to remove that extra skin of the upper lids. And, Mike, I know that
Before we go to there, what works just as well, you said?
Lifting your brows.
Raising your eyebrows. Physically doing this, not a brow lift, but you moving the muscles of your brows.
Correct. You just raising up your brows, which is how God intended us to get our eyelids off of our eyes if we had extra eyelid skin. We're supposed to raise our brows, and then you get those furrows. That's not so good. We use Botox to get rid of those. But those are cosmetic things. Now, there are cases, Mike, that it's absolutely legitimate, where people truly have obstructed vision, where so much skin is there that it's blocking their vision. And those cases probably should be covered by insurance. But the problem is, this is getting abused. It's getting abused to the point where Medicare is spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on this type of surgery. And doctors are unfortunately gaming the system. There's one guy in Florida. I sent you the paper. There's one guy, a plastic surgeon, unfortunately, who billed Medicare for $800,000, $800,000 in 1 year. Now, Medicare is only paying about $500 an eyelid. Now, so he billed for 2,200 eyelid lifts in 1 year. Now, that works out. On a 365-day year.
Well, let's just give him a 200. Let's give him a 200-day year. It's 10 a day.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, could he do 10 a day?
Well, could you do 10 a day? I take about an hour and a half to do a proper upper eyelid lift. I know that there are guys that just do quickie things and numb up and snip and probably get them done in half an hour. So could you? I suppose you could. But some investigators went to this guy's website, and this isn't all he does. So he does breast augmentations and liposuction. So he's doing a lot of other things also. So it's not just that he's doing all this eyelid surgery. And this has been looked at by many people, and investigators have said, you know, he's gaming the system. They don't name his name because of there's privacy, believe it or not, even though it's federal tax dollars going to this guy. But he's not alone. There are a lot of people that are doing this, and with a wink, no pun intended, the plastic surgeons are sending people to ophthalmologists to get allegedly independent ophthalmologic exams that document, sometimes with a little coaching, unfortunately, document a visual field defect. So, you know, it's very difficult for insurance companies and the federal government to stop this.
Doesn't there have to be a certain degree of visual field defect? In other words, all of us would have a visual field defect if we didn't open our eyes.
Yeah, the problem, Mike, is that it is very easy. When someone knows what they're supposed to answer, it's easy to fake this test, both on the patient's side and on the doctor's side. So what you're doing, your face, I don't know if you've ever had one of these exams, but your face goes in this big machine, and they shine dots of light, you know, and you're supposed to say, do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Yes, yes, no, no. And then they put an X where you can't see it and a dot where you can see it. And then they tape up the eyelids, and then you do it again. And so if you had a visual field obstruction from your eyelids, then with the taped eyelid, it would show an improvement. It's easy to play games with this because everybody knows what you're supposed to answer. And that's what Medicare's defense is. They're saying, well, you know what? We don't know how to police this because the doctors are too good at figuring out how to game the system. So it's broken, and it bothers me because if you do things the right way, which most plastic surgeons do, we're the ones penalized. And society gets penalized. It's a big game, people think, but in the end, you know and I know that there's a limited number of dollars out there, and so they're going to say, well, okay, bypass surgery, not after age 80 or something like that, because we just don't have the money. And that's what happens, obviously, in England, because they've run out of money. So we don't want that to happen here. So we've got to get rid of these type of fraudulent or pseudo-fraudulent activities. So, you know, it's out there now. We've got to fix it.
How would you go about fixing it? How do you fix this? In other words, there are obviously some people he's operating on with legitimate field defects that need to be fixed this way. But what you're saying is the majority don't have that. Do we need a second opinion on this? Is that what has to happen? And is there have to be an independent second opinion? How would you fix it?
Yeah, yes, I do think that is one of the answers. It's got to be an independent second opinion. You know, the logistics of that is not easy. Do you have a Medicare doctor, you know, paid doctor? I mean, it could go the other way then. They could be too rigid. You know, I'm not sure. It requires some thought, but it's got to be fixed. Otherwise, it is going to be just, and this is just one of the things. There's lots of things out there, Mike. I've seen in my days as a regulator on the New Jersey Board of Medical Examiners, I saw all sorts of insurance fraud, rhinoplasties that were done for insurance when there was no breathing problem, liposuction that was billed as extraction of lipomas through the liposuction, you know, all sorts of things, repair of hernias when there's a tummy tuck done, you know. And it's the doctor's word against the insurance companies. You know, they dictate anything into an operative note. And again, I stress that this is the vast minority of doctors that do this kind of stuff. You know, and I know, that it's just a very small number, but their small numbers, as exhibited by the guy in Florida, can add up to a lot of money, a lot of money. And that hurts everybody.
Yeah, are there other solutions than a second opinion? And obviously, how do you, I mean, there's got to be a better way of doing it. You'd think in this era of videos and recorded videos that maybe you'd have to record the video on each of these, or maybe you'd have to see a video, or a second opinion could be done in an automated fashion. Anyway, we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about a better subject with Arthur Perry. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift. Famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
If any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. Arthur, what about vitamin D? Is there another benefit I read about?
From sun exposure. Yes, Mike. You know, I'm one of these people, unlike the dermatologists, that do say that you should get a little bit of sun exposure. You know, the dermatologist would like you to live in a cave. No sun exposure, none, zero. Put your sunscreen on before you go out. But, you know, it doesn't make much sense. We live in a commensal relationship with the sun.
What the hell does commensal mean,
and
Arthur?
We've evolved. Well, the sun is good for us.
It's so it's a beneficial relationship.
We get benefit. Well, that's true. That's true. We don't do anything for the sun. It does for us, right? So it's a beneficial relationship. Correct. Correct. So we know that that sun exposure is necessary for vitamin D, as you said. It's also well documented that sun exposure improves our mood, which is why you like going to those basketball games with those bright lights in the middle of the winter, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, and because it does help your mood. But there was a study that was not published yet, but presented at a dermatology meeting in Edinburgh, which you've probably been to. And what they did, they exposed people to ultraviolet light and heat for 20 minutes. And then they exposed them just to the heat, no ultraviolet light. And it was really interesting, Mike. Their blood pressure and heart rate, the blood pressure fell, when they were exposed to the ultraviolet light and heat. But if they were exposed just to the heat, not the ultraviolet light, their blood pressure did not fall. Now, you probably know better than I what this is really doing. It has something to do with nitric acid or something like that I don't quite understand. But it's really very interesting. It's another documented.
So now you sell. Wait, well, wait a second. You sell on Dr. Perry's PERRYS.com website a sunblock. Does this mean we shouldn't use Dr. And by the way, it is a zinc oxide micronized, so it's the ideal product. You would expect that from anything at drperrys.com. But in any case, does that mean we shouldn't use Dr. Perry's when we go out in the sun?
Well, I think you should go out in the sun, get your 20 minutes, and that's when you should apply the sunscreen. Now, what I have is a facial sunscreen. I don't yet have the body sunscreen that you liked so much before. That'll be next spring. But the facial sunscreen is an SPF 20, and I do think you should put it on 20 minutes after you go out. That way you get the effect. And by the way, you know that after 20 minutes, ultraviolet light is an immunosuppressant. But in the first 20 minutes, it's not, and probably immunoprotective. That means it boosts your immune system in the beginning of exposure, but then excessive exposure hurts your immune system. So absolutely, I say get some sun. You know, unless you're one of these people that has some condition or many, many basal cell carcinomas.
Now, we have a bunch of questions, Arthur, I want to get to just quickly. But they all come on one topic, and that is there are people who are seeing more allergies this year, skin allergies, and worsening of their eczema. Is this due to pollen, or what's it due to this year? Why are we seeing, or is this just my listeners are reporting more?
I actually do not know. It should not be pollen, Mike. That's not really going to do it. Eczema and things of that nature should not be that pollen related. It's not like the sniffling that you get. So I'm not sure what's different about this year. I don't know. Maybe it's the neighborhood you live in.
No. This is on my email. It's not my specific neighborhood.
So jeez. You stumped me. I don't know why this year would be any worse than other years for contact dermatitis or eczema. I'm not sure.
Okay. Going back, is there something, and the person wrote, one of these people wrote, is there something Dr. Perry has that can protect against or treat eczema?
Well, you know, one of the problems of eczema, or the causes of eczema, is overwashing. People have a tendency to use a lot of products on their hair and on their face. And when we strip the oils off the skin, we can get an eczema type of reaction. We can over dry the skin. And then the skin paradoxically responds by making even more oil. It can get irritated and swollen. It can look like eczema. So I'm a great proponent of very mild soaps, soaps that don't have sodium lauryl sulfate, that SLS, and have the right pH, because almost all 97% of the soaps that you can get in the store, Mike, have the wrong pH. They're all alkaline, and alkaline soaps hurt the barrier of the skin. That means they let in more irritants, like other products.
So you want an acid barrier.
Things that you want an acid. That's right, an acid soap, and there's not many. Our skin should be at a pH of 5.5 guys.
If we go to drperrys.com or call that magic 800 number, I guess it's an 855-940-1900, 855-940-1900. If we go to drperrys.com or call that number, can we find a acid soap at drperrys.com?
You can. It's called Clean Time.
Clean Time. T-H-Y-M-E,
really nice.
I'll bet.
T-H-Y-M-E, because it's got a little bit of thyme in it, no sulfates, the right pH, no preservatives, no parabens, no phthalates. All the things we talk about on the show that you shouldn't have are not in it, which is what we want.
We're going to do a quick real age tip of the week now, Arthur. What about home air filters? Is the air filter at home resulting in healthy lungs? Well, air filtering systems seem like they'd be the best thing for your lungs since snorkels. Air filters are supposed to take allergens out of the air, but unfortunately, many of them don't work well. The primary reason isn't mechanical malfunction, it's your owner malfunction. You don't change your air filter often enough, so they're not at all effective. So one of the great things is to get a better air filter manager. That's you. There are also a few green friends that can help scrub harmful compounds from household air. Just one plant per 100 square feet of living space will help absorb organic compounds, VOCs. The best plants, guess what they are? Well, the best plants are, in fact, some common household plants, and they're phytodendrons, green pathos, spider plants, and ivy. All are available from your local nursery. So that's the best thing to get your indoor air as good as outdoor air, in fact, better, especially if you live close to a street. And that's one of the keys. Change your air filter, learn how to do it, and then also get some more plants. We appreciate your being here and listening to us on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Support our sponsors. Thanks very much for doing so. Arthur Perry at drperrys.com, of course, ubeauty.com, and our other sponsors, and of course, Gary Ginsberg and Joe Gluski and our engineer, Sonar. Thanks all of you for doing a great job, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with a brand new show, and we have another great guest. This was a great guest today. You can always listen to the archive programs at RadioMD.com.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.